Everyone can give a little donation. It's always suitable. These Babas are building this nice temple here. This is Varahaga. And over to the right, you see Lord Varaha. River Jamuna just was flowing over there. And Srimati Radharani and Gopis came here on one occasion to collect water. And Krishna and Balaram were just nearby in Ramanreti, because where we are, that's Ramanreti, so it's like beach. Nice sand, soft sand where they would play, and then there were also forests and areas where the cows would graze. When Krishna heard that Srimati Radharani was here, he left the cowherd boys and cows and came here. And the gopis were in their proud, little arrogant mood. And Krishna was then trying to explain to them. He says, "You can't talk to me like that because I'm Bhagavan." And then they started laughing on top of that. "So what kind of Bhagavan are you? Taking care of cows. Lord Narayan doesn't take care of cows. Besides, he manifests so many different incarnations, and all you do is just dream up all kinds of stories about yourself." So Krishna, and then they say he comes as Nrisimhadeva and he comes as Lord Varaha, and he said, "You want me to show you Lord Varaha?" I said, "Go ahead." So then Krishna started to manifest this huge, big, big form of Lord Varaha that was just up and just filled the sky. And then gopis got completely lost seeing this extraordinary form, reddish form. And on his tusk, Lord Varaha was carrying the earth. And then they got really bewildered. If the earth is there, where are we? And they lost all sense of direction and everything. And that was here. That's why it's called Varahaga. And then Lord Varaha disappeared. And the still gopis weren't impressed. They said, "This is just some magic show. Just like you make everyone believe that you're lifting up a hill." But this, and they got their water, and then they left. Long time ago in our time, there was this very small temple downstairs, and they had a very, very ancient deity of Lord Varaha. Black, the type that they usually have at that time, bas relief deity. And one year we came, because he always passed by here, and came in, and he was gone. And they said that he'd been stolen, because people, you know, they just steal him, and then they sell him as antiques. So since then, they're gradually beautifully building this very nice temple. Yes. They're not in any rush. They've been building here for 10 years. But bit by bit, and you can see it's beautiful traditional construction, all made with stone. Very, very nice. And here's Lord Varaha and Sitaram Lakshman, Hanumanji. So, when you worship Lord Varaha, aside from the end of the Leela describes it, whoever remembers that pastime of Lord Varaha filling Hiranyaksha, they enjoy in the spiritual world where there's eternal sankirtan going on. But also Lord Varaha protects your reputation. So worship Lord Varaha, and then he gives shelter. Real reputation is that we want to be faithful Vaishnavas. So we should offer obeisances, offer a little prayer. Everyone give a little donation that helps a little with their construction and maintenance. And then we'll go on. We're just passing by here. Jai Varaha Gata Ki Jai. If you look through the mist, which is not so much mist, it's probably more pollution, then you can see all the way to Madan Mohan and could see Govindaji, but that's invisible. And here's Vrindavan. This is like Krishna's Vrindavan, although that time there were not as much farming as going on, because originally Parjanya Maharaj, Krishna's grandfather, he was living in Nandagram. And somehow or another, Nandagram used to be a favorite haunt of Keshi, demon. So finally they left, and they all moved to Gokul to get away from Keshi. And as I mentioned yesterday, they were there in Gokul. Krishna wanted to come to Vrindavan. Gokul is Mahavan of the 12 forests. 7 forests are on this side of the Jamuna, 5 forests on the other side. Mahavan is one of them. Maha. Great, great forest. You know, Krishna, just like Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, and he manifests different degrees of his potency in Dwarka, mixed with his sweetness, is mixed with his awe and reverence. And then beyond that, in Vaikuntha, it's just that, although Lord Ramachandra is a special feature, and all the different incarnations. And in the same way, there are different aspects of Vrindavan and different forms of Krishna which manifest greater or lesser degrees of his qualities. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with this when he was with Rupa Goswami, and he met with, what was that devotee who was coming? He went over to Balabhata's place, and over there, I'll remember his name in a minute. Huh?
Tapan Misra.
No.
Balabhata.
No. And Raghupati Upadhyaya, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him questions, and then he said that, how does that verse go? Shama Rupa Param Rupa Puri Madhu Puri Bara Ajam Baya Kaishor. In other words, he says that of all the places, Mathura Vrindavan is the best. And he says of Krishna's forms, his Kishore form, is the full manifestation of Krishna Bhagwan. And that's why we, when we worship Radha and Krishna, that's the full manifestation of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here in Vrindavan, Krishna, Vrindavan means Chatikar, which is just like that way. Krishna doesn't manifest all of those qualities. In Gokul, it's childhood, and the dominant rasa is parenthood. In here, the dominant rasa is friendship, and he's with his cowherd boyfriends, and it's when he goes to Nandagram, and Nandagram is also in Vrindavan. From here all the way to Govardhan, it's all Vrindavan forest. Then that's Krishna's Kaishor form, and that's Krishna's original form. And interestingly enough, the qualities of childhood and boyhood are also found in Krishna's Kishore form. How? That's another thing. But they're all there. So when Krishna's here, he's enjoying his boyhood. Oh yes, what I wanted to say was, so the original Dham is Nandagram. Original Dham meaning it is just like Krishna manifests his full sweetness and beauty and everything in his Kishore form. So similarly, Nandagram manifests all of the features of Krishna's home. Chatikar, Vrindavan, some of those, and Gokula, even less. So this is Vrindavan. And here used to flow, the Jamuna River flowed here. And it was very deep. And further down that way, it flowed along. What you see here actually is all the bed of the Jamuna. And of course, now it's agricultural land. But I've seen water here when it would flood. And there was one rishi whose name was Shobari Muni. He was a yogi. He came here to Vrindavan and he was doing austerities. And his austerities were in the water. He knew how to live in water, which means obviously that he's not breathing. But that's one of the cities that yogis do. They extend the duration of their life, that's how they live so long, by decreasing the number of breaths you take, because your life is sort of measured in the number of breaths you take. So when you see these people jogging, they're just wasting. They're already wasting their life with the jogging, but breathing extra, and Yamaraj is counting. And they come closer and closer. So they can hold their breath. He was living underwater. And because he was there, he had a nice relationship with the fish. Last night I was talking about talking languages, so he's communicating with the fish. And Garuda, he eats fish. Now, he's a Param Vaishnava, but still he eats fish. That doesn't mean we should eat fish. But he has... In fact, I was just... In Bhagavatam, there's a verse that even where it says even Kshatriyas should not eat meat, because sometimes it says, oh, Bhima eat meat, and so on. It said there, Kshatriyas are not meant to eat meat. I know that very, very often people who are Ramayana experts, they talk about Lord Ramachandra eating meat in the forest. Anyway, he can eat whatever he wants, but it's not our understanding. Someone's cooking here, by the way. I can't smell what it is yet, though, but I can see the smoke. I just move up a little. And what he was trying to get, don't know. But anyway, he had a good relation with the fish. Garuda was coming here. He was eating fish. So the fish asked him, please give us protection from Garuda. So he said, all right. He says, I curse Garuda that if he comes here, he's, I don't know, what was the curse?
He'll die.
Mm-hmm. That's a funny thing, that he's going to curse Garuda to die. Obviously, Garuda didn't die. But that's a principle. It's there with, who was it that sent that demon to Dwarka from Varanasi?
Banasur.
He sent that demon to destroy Dwarka.
Yes, Banasur.
And then, of course, Krishna just sent out the Sudarshan Chakra, it killed the demon. And then Sudarshan Chakra came back and destroyed Varanasi. At that time, Varanasi was destroyed. Although Varanasi said to be an eternal city, but at least what was visible was destroyed. And there Srila Prabhupada explains, and it's also stated elsewhere, that when you curse somebody, then either you have great power, but ultimately that curse can come back on you. If you curse for the wrong person, for the wrong reason, in any case, it will diminish your spiritual strength or your mystic power. And if you do it to the wrong person, then it will come back on you. Like Hiranyakashipu tried to do to Prahlad Maharaj. So it came back on him. And it came back on him in the way that he had committed Vaishnava Aparad. You can't curse. Like last night I was saying that Vasudev had made this decision that in order to be true to his word, he was going to sacrifice his children to Kamsa. And the Acharyas talk about this in great detail, and they explain how he was doing the right thing. Giving up your own life is one thing, and giving up the life of somebody else, or to speak of innocent children, is another. So similarly, Garuda eating fish, just like in battlefield of Kurukshetra, whoever was touched by Arjuna's arrows were immediately liberated. So if Garuda eats fish, they become liberated. Anyway, he cursed Garuda, and that then became a Vaishnava Aparad. And it's not just a Vaishnava Aparad, but this is a Param Vaishnava Aparad. And so the result was that he is in water, and all of a sudden he's seeing these two fish mating. Now, I can't remember ever seeing that, but I can't imagine it being an extremely stimulating thing to see two fish mating. But still, it was enough to just a little, that of course, he became susceptible because of his offense. And although that's what it says, but the understanding already is that he must have been quite disturbed in mind. Because one of the reactions to Vaishnava Aparad is you lose shelter, Daivi Prakriti Mashrita, you lose shelter of Srimati Radharani, of Bhakti Shakti, and then material energy again can start to attract you. And of course, the weak point for yogis is always attraction to sex life. So just by seeing those fish, he decided, I want to also enjoy like that. So he came out. And this is a forest. And so he went from here, he went to Maharaj Mandata. Maharaj Mandata was king, and he lived over in Manasiganga. He had his palace on this side of Manasiganga, and he had 50 daughters and three sons. And Ambarish was one of his sons, right?
Ambarish is a descendant. He's from the dynasty of Ambarish dynasty.
Uh-huh.
His father is Juvanas.
Uh-huh. So anyway, he had 50 daughters. And Sabari Muni, you can see, he wanted all of them. Mm-hmm. And being a yogi, so he still had certain powers. He must have if he had 50 wives. and so he just became a grihastha. All of a sudden, he just lived in a palace. And so Bhagavatam describes. But here, interesting point is that one is, of course, the result of offending Vaishnavas. And the other is that, well, Prabhupada uses the saying, in like a needle, out like a plow. Mm-hmm. Maya Devi is like that. Just the very littlest thing. Sometimes we think, oh, that's not a big thing. I'll say something loosely. Or someone might think, oh, I watch this movie on television or something like that. But it doesn't take much. It just takes a little. And Amaya Devi is very patient. She takes her time, slowly, slowly. And it must have also been like that with Shobari Muni, that although Bhagavatam just says, because Bhagavatam just describing events, but it was a process where gradually, here he was a yogi living in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden material desire starts to come back in his heart. And it becomes so intolerable that he just leaves. And But ultimately he realized his foolishness, and eventually he retired, says he retired to the forest, which means he came back to Vrindavan forest, and his wives followed him. And it says he performed austerities and he went back to Godhead, which means that he had to do something very significant in order to actually become free from that apparat. Because one thing is to get the reaction, that's the easy part. The other part is to get forgiveness. And because you may get some particular reaction, but Krishna won't give you that prema which it requires to go back to Godhead. So Shukadeva Goswami just says it very briefly, and he says he went to the forest by practicing, and so he and his wives, they attained perfection. Ultimately, they were living in Vrindavan. So the dust of Vrindavan has that potency. Just like yesterday we were speaking, like there are so many Brijbasis who are residing here. But to speak of the Brijbasis, there are the sadhus and people who come. Generally, the tradition is that if you leave your body on Vrindavan, you go back to Godhead. But if you commit offenses, then you don't go back immediately. If you're sinful, if you commit offense, which is even worse, then you take birth. Monkey, hog, dog, turtle, pig. And it's one thing to be a dog in, I don't know, a French poodle in Paris. And it's something else to be a dog in Vrindavan. Although I know that Atma used to do the parikrama of Vrindavan. They used to come this sadhu. He would just wear a gunny cloth, but he had Nike shoes, and he had a German Shepherd on a leash. Huge German Shepherd. doesn't wear any clothes, but he's got a German Shepherd. So somehow or another it's become very... keeping dogs has become also a popular thing in India.